Chomsky, Bruchim Abeim, and thank you very much for agreeing to share your Divrei Torah with us.
Hi, Rabbi Waxman, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here for all the reasons that you mentioned, and to be able to give a shiur where my son is in attendance, a special thrill. He doesn't come to my shiur in B'nai Assurance, so I have to come here for that. Maybe in the future it'll change, though. And to see so many of our other Talmidim here, and Teenekers, and the rest of the yeshiva. Elisha ben Avuya is one of the famous and the controversial figures in the Talmud. So much so, he's so difficult to deal with that he's referred to as Acher, as the other one. Because it's very hard to put our finger on what went wrong. He was one of the greatest of the Tanaim. To put him in some perspective, Elisha ben Avuya was the contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, and he was the Rabbi Muvhok of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, the great Rabbi Meir, whose work is really the foundation of the substance of the Mishnah. So there is a concept of a Shonu Perash, of a person who learns the great Talmud Chacham and then goes off the Derech. It's very rare, though. And in the Talmud itself, he's the only one. So what happened? I think we understand a little more about Rabbi Meir. Maybe we'll understand something about ourselves, because of the phenomenon of young people also going off the derech on occasion. I think we'll see in the life of Elisha ben Avuya every possibility, every eventuality, every cause which would lead someone to stray from the path of Torah, they all come together, come to a head in the life of Elisha ben Avuya, the great Talmud Chacham, who went off the derech. He's familiar to us, of course, in Pirkei Avos. It speaks about the teaching Torah to a yelad versus the zaken. Dio chodol shel nio yoshon, etc. And also from a citation I gave in Avos to Reb Nosson in the 24th parak. A person who has, he says, odom sheyesh b'masim tovim, v'loma Torah harbe. A person who has in his arsenal good deeds, as well as learned much Torah, so he's comparable to one, Shabona Avonim Tchila V'Chakach Levenim, comparable to one who builds with stones first, and then brick on top of that. Afilu Boem Mayim Harbe V'Omdim B'Tzidon Eimach Anosam B'Mkomon. No water is going to be able to overturn it. As opposed to the one who has no Maisim Tovim and just learns Torah, so there, if all he has is an intellectual attachment to Torah, but he's not grounded in mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim, then even a small amount of water, Mayim Kimo, is going to overturn what he's built, what he's constructed, and the whole personality is lost. Very interesting. Obviously, when he said this, he was still grounded in the Beis Medrash. So what was his problem? Was his problem one of Torah? Was his problem one of a dearth of Maisim Tovim? Or was it something else entirely? The framework of Elisha ben Avuya's life is really found in the Yerushalmi, in Chagiga, in the second parak. In fact, in the Bavli as well, you find many of the stories that relate to Elisha ben Avuya. So here's one. The Gemara says that Remeir Hava Yosef Dorash beveis midrasha de Tveria. Reb Meir was giving a drasha in the Beis Medrash in Tveria. Ovar Elisha Rabbe Rochav al Susio b'yom Shobta. And he heard that, Mark continues, he heard from his Talmidim that Elisha ben Avuya is outside, he's riding a horse on Shabbos. Ho Rab Cholivar, your Rebbe is outside. Whether they said it sarcastically or not, we don't know. But your Rebbe who taught you Torah is riding a horse outside. Posak le min drasha v'nofek legabe. Rebbe Meir stopped his drasha, went out to greet his Rebbe. You'll see on the flip side, we may not have time to come to it, but Rebbe Meir maintained a relationship with his Rebbe, the Afikaris, long after he left the Derech. Because he saw in him the kernel of Torah. And he saw everything else almost as extraneous to the personality, even if others did not. Even if others saw him as a Rasha through and through, Reb Meir learned Torah, maybe out of gratitude as well, who learned Torah from him, nonetheless saw his Rebbe as he was, able to pierce the veil of every other attachment, that every other issue that had overcome Elisha ben Avuya. In any event, he asks Reb Meir, what are you darshaning? He's darshaning the pasuk at the end of Sefer Iyov. Vashem berach es achris Iyov mereish yiso. God bless Iyov's end. After all the suffering and all the turmoil in his life, all the personal losses, the material losses, God blessed him doubly. It continues, Ma patchet bey, how'd you explain it? He says, Vayosef Hashem eskol shel Iyov lemishne, shekofel os kol memono. God doubled whatever Iyov had had previously. So Elisha ben Avuya says, Vay demovlo meshakchen, woe to those who are gone but not forgotten. Rabbi Akiva darshan is differently. Rabbi Akiva would say that why God bless Achris Iyov mereish yiso, b'schus mitzvos u'maisim tovim, shehoya b'yodo mereish yiso. Because the mitzvos maisim tovim Iyov had. So even though he was punished in the interim, nonetheless, when his recompense came, it was more than before. And the Gemara continues with another drasha, the next pasuk, and Elisha ben Avuya explained it as well. When do we say Tov Achris Mereish Yiso? Because Reb Meir had used that pasuk as a hint to Elisha ben Avuya that tshuva is also possible. So he said, no, Bizman Shehu Tov Mereish Yiso. When one is good from the beginning and strays, then maybe he can come back. But when the beginning is not good, when the foundation is not good, then you can't return. And he says, Ubi Hoya Hamasa. Elisha ben Avuya said, it all happened to me. And now he tells the story at the beginning of his life. It's right in the middle of number two. Avuya, he says, my father Avuya Migdol Yerushalayim Hoya is one of the notables of Yerushalayim. Not necessarily Talmud Chacham, but one of the leaders of Yerushalayim. B'yom Shabolam Oleini, when the time came for my bris, Kora L'chol Gedola Yerushalayim Moshivam B'vayis Echad. He brought all the Gedolim, the Gedolei Tov Yerushalayim, to my bris Mila. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua were in another room. One group was eating and drinking, celebrating the bris. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, they said, Ad Inu Nasikin B'didun Nasak Anon B'didun. They're doing their thing. People like to party, Yisudas Mitzvah. We'll do our thing. We'll learn Torah. V'nis'ask v'yoshvu v'nis'asku b'divrei Torah min ha'Torah l'neviyim min ha'neviyim l'ksuvim v'yorda ish min ha'shamayim v'kifosan. They became so engrossed in the study. Tanakh, a fire came down from heaven and encircled them. Omar lohen avuya. Avuya said to them, Rabosai, ma'bosim l'srofes be'si'olai. He saw the fire. You're going to burn my house? On the day of my son's bris, Omru lo chas v'shalom, God forbid, Eliyoshvin hayuna v'chozim b'divrei Torah, we're just engaged in the study of Torah, and v'hayu hadvarim semechem kinisinosan misinai, the matters we were discussing, and the way we were understanding these psukim in Tanakh, it was like the Torah was just given from Sinai, and the Torah was given with fire, v'har bo'er bo'esh. Fire means it was pure. The Torah, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua were pure. Emes, Amito Shel Torah, Kinesi Nosan Me Sinai. Avuya saw this. Omar Lehen Avuya, Rabosai, Imkachi Kocha Shel Torah. If this is the power of Torah, that there's a response from heaven, and its purity, even in our generation, can be Kinesi Nosan Me Sinai. If this child named Elisha survives, I want him to be dedicated, set aside for Torah as well, so he could be able to benefit from this aura. Sounds good. Chazal saw it as a flaw. Lefi shelo hoisa kavanosa l'shem shemayim, lefichach lo niskaimu ba'oso ish. Because Elisha ben Avuya's father, because Avuya's intent was not l'shem shemayim. He was attracted to the glamour of Torah. He saw the aura, the status, the honor, the titles. He saw something in Torah, but not the amita shel Torah, not the substance of Torah, but everything that surrounds the Torah, the glamour, the glitter that comes with it. So it wasn't l'shem shemayim. Lefichach lo niskaimu ba'oso ish. So it didn't work out with Elisha, and he went off the derech. The first point I think that the Rishalmi is telling us is, if you would ask me, in my experience in the Rabbanus, why do children ever go off the derech? Very often, the kernel is in the home. The parents. Strange I should criticize parents. But no. The kernel of rebellion very often is found in something in the home. And again, I'm not saying it's in every case, and certainly not saying it justifies a child's rebellion. At a certain point, you have to go beyond that too, and make your own decisions. Bechira, even to overcome a person's origin, right? That's the foundation of Yadus. Avram rebelled against his father, Terach, who was an idolater. But nonetheless, sometimes a very subtle error, a midah ra, a philosophical mistake, a cynical statement that's made in the home, very often around the Shabbos table, that could plant a seed in the child's mind, and that seed sprouts later on. That was what Chazal perceived, Elisha ben Avuya himself perceived, as the primary root of his rebellion, something he'd absorbed from his father, a value, Torah shelo lishma, Torah not for its own sake. If Torah is not for its own sake, meaning the value of Torah is going to be determined by how others perceive it, the rest of society, other rabbonim, community, friends, etc. But not the Torah itself. It's lo lishma. So, in the majority of cases, it will not remain. And in some of those cases, it'll set the child off on a completely wrong course. You find a tree, if a sapling is planted and it's crooked, it'll never be made straight. I visited a few years ago the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Pisa, Italy, which is a remarkable structure. It was built crooked. And they realized, it took I think 10, 15 years to build. They realized 5 years into it that it's crooked. And they said, I will just build it anyway. Maybe it'll straighten itself out. No. It's like that for 800 years already. The same thing is true with a child. Rav Volbe termed his sefer on chinuch, Zriyo binyan b'chinuch. Binyan is construction. Foundation is not laid right, then the building won't be straight. It's also zriyo. If the seed is not planted and nurtured, what's going to grow is going to be distorted as well. That's the first thing. But the fact is, you have many people who come from homes where there's no Torah at all, or where the approach to Yadus is entirely corrupt, and yet they remain straight. They're Yashar, they become Bali Tshuva. So it's not all attributable to the home. So we have to see the rest of the, or many of the other references to Elisha ben Avuya, as Chazal saw it, to try to understand the progression in his life. From his upbringing with his parents, who gave him a Torah education, became a great Talmud Chacham, to him becoming Acher. So turn the page for a moment and look at number 8, which is the Gemara in Chagigot Daf, Tesvav Amud Beis. Acher Mai, the top right. The Gemara says, Zemer Yevani lo posak mipume. Greek music never left his mouth. Acher was attracted to alien culture, to a foreign culture. He was singing songs, Britney Spears of his time, whatever it was. He was singing songs that had a message that was antithetical to Torah, and he was attracted to it. So sometimes we think the culture makes no difference in our lives. Sometimes it doesn't. But the fact is, repeated exposure to the most corrosive aspects of the culture will invariably corrode a person's outlook on the world. It has to shape our perspective. Every type of influence that we encounter in life shapes us, molds us, some larger, some smaller. And there's no doubt when the influences are negative ones, it's going to shape us in a way which is harmful. So you would say, what's the difference? He was, you know, whistling Greek tunes. No, Chazal saw. Zemer Yevoni lo posak mipume. Never stopped. Doesn't mean he left the Beis Medrash. Singing to himself. An attraction to it. And that attraction was enough also to veer him off the derech. Omru olav alachir, the Gemara continues. Another reason. Bishah shehoya ome beveis ha-medrash, harbe sifrei minim no shemecheko. When Elisha ben Avuya would get up from his learning in the Beis Medrash, heretical works would fall from his pockets, fall from his chest. I mean, he didn't just have an attraction to Greek culture, art, to music, its philosophy, etc., but also to heretical ideas. He wanted to sample other religions. He was into comparative religion. Let's see what they have to say. Let's see how they think. And let's see how it compares to us. Let's, in fact, judge the Torah by the standards of other religions, the paganism of his time. Christianity was a nascent religion in his time. Let's judge what we believe based on what others believe. He was drawn to it. It was unique in the Dor. I don't imagine there are many professors of comparative religion in Elisha ben Avuya's time. Nonetheless, he was attracted to that. Heresy did not seem to him to be that abominable. Chazal say that if you hear someone say apikarsis, you have to tear kriya, to tear your garments. Now, we don't tear our garments anymore, we have nothing left to wear. But nonetheless, we should still retain a sense of horror. Torah is attacked. Alien, pagan, primitive ideas are praised. Some of them enter our world because they're praised by others. We don't see the harm that's being caused. We don't think through it. We don't try to create for ourselves as much as possible a pristine environment. We're going to be harmed also. Turn back to the first page. The end of number 7. It's a Medrash in Rus Rabbah. 3 lines from the bottom. Something else. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The Yeshomer mal Yedeshek Shahisa Imo Meuberes Bo Avral Bote Avodas Kochovim. It said that when his mother was pregnant with Elisha ben Avuya, she would pass by houses of idolatrous worship, the Hericha, and she would inhale, she would smell the fragrance of the offerings in the Bote Avodas Zara, the Nosnu Lo Meoso Hamin Veochlo. And they gave her something to taste as well. V'hoya mefafea b'kreisa, kreisa shel chanicha. And when she ate what they had given to her, it was moving within her. It penetrated her womb, kreisa shel chanicha, like a snake, like the venom of a snake. And so that itself gave Elisha ben Avuya a misstep. At the very beginning of his life. What does it mean that Avral Batei Avodas Kochavim, she would pass these houses of worship? That doesn't mean she herself was an idolater, God forbid. It means she was drawn to the aesthetic value of the religions of the world. There's a certain fascination that we have. In fact, the Torah warns us against this. Pentidrash Lailoheim, Echa Yavdo Gayim Oilas Eloheim, Vesa Kengamoni. We should avoid that type of interest, except when it's halachically appropriate, lest we seek after their religion. I'll do the same thing, it seems, you know, to a superficial eye, to people not familiar, not inside the world of Torah. There are many similarities. We pray, they pray. We learn, they learn. We have ritual, they have ritual. On the surface, it looks the same. The Chafetz Chaim is the one who said, it's like, quote the Medrash, that it's like a person who sees a lifelike statue from a distance. So from a distance, it looks like a person. It looks the same as another human being. When you get up close to it, you see it's not lifelike at all. You see the flaws. You see the distinctions. You see one is the Torah Chaim, and the other is not. But she was drawn to the temples, to the architecture, to the grandeur that exists on a superficial level in Avodah Zarah. Well, if she had this within her, if she had this tendency, so Chazal say she conveyed it to her child even in the womb. Certainly, when he was being raised, that notion was conveyed to him as well. So far there are four. Father, there's mother, there's Zemer Yevani, and there is Sifrei Minim. What else? Look at a little earlier in the in this number 7, in Rus Rabbah. Mehechon hoyelo hamasa azeh. So here, in the Gemara Kiddushin, I cited on the back, the Lametesam and Beis, quotes a similar story. Once Elisha ben Avuya was sitting and learning in the valley of Ginosar. Ginosar, you took a trip to the Golan recently, right? The Galil. So Ginosar is right north of the Kinneret. Very fruitful area. He saw a person climb a date tree. Venotal ha'em al abonim v'yard b'shalom. And he took the mother bird and left the offspring there in violation of the Torah. What does the Torah say? You want to take the bonim? Shalech t'shalach esoim v'abonim tikach loch. This person did the opposite. He just took the mother bird and left the chicks there, and nothing happened to him. V'yared b'shalom. V'yard b'shalom. V'motzoi Shabbos rodam acher. She'ola l'rosh ha'dekel, motzoi Shabbos, another person went, climbed to that tree, v'notal habonim, v'shalach esoeim, he sent away the offspring, as the Torah obligates you to do, and then he sent away the mother, v'yorad v'kisho nochosh v'meis, and he went down, and he was bitten by a snake, and he died. Omar, Elisha ben Avuya said, "Ksiv shalech t'shalach esoeim v'sabonim tikach loch l'manitav l'chavarachti yomim." Here the Torah promises yarichus yomim, where the story is recorded in the Gemara Kiddushin. The Gemara makes it even stronger. The Gemara says that Elisha ben Avuya saw a father tell his son, "Go up to the tree and send away the mother bird and take the bonim." And he did that, and he fell, and he died. So there you have the two times in the Torah where Arichus Yomim is referenced. Kibud Av and Shiloh HaKein. And he was fulfilling both mitzvos. And instead, he died. Elisha ben Avuya said, Heichan Tuvo Shel Zeh. Heichan Arichus Yomim Shel Zeh. Where do you find the good that the Torah promises this person? Where do you find the longevity? It's exactly the opposite. V'loyoda shedrosha Rabbi Akiva b'tzibura. He didn't know that Rabbi Akiva had darshan publicly. L'man yitav l'cha b'olam shukula tov. Where do you find good? Only real good is in the world. It's all good. Olam haba. V'rachta yomim. Where do you find arichas yomim? L'olam shukula aroch. The world which is always long, meaning eternal. So arichas yomim is not necessarily reference to this world. It's reference to the next world. Elisha ben Avuya saw the simple pshat. And he asked, where's the Arichus Yomim that was promised? Where are the promises of the Torah? What's he questioning? He's questioning something that people always think about. The justice of the Yochid. An individual has a tzara, tragedy befall him. Someone's killed in a terrible tragedy. Rachmana Litzlan. Every week in Eretz Yisrael, seems there's always bad news about the traffic accidents. And this week also, Rav and Mitzpeh Yericho lost two sons. Two brothers were killed with two other boys from Mitzpeh Yericho Sunday night. Heichan tuvo shel zeh, heichan arichus yomim shel zeh. So people have a question. It's one of the most perplexing things that people deal with in the world. Why do bad things happen to people who don't seem to be bad people, good people? Is bothered Elisha ben Avuya. Didn't answer the question. Didn't have an answer to the question. And the Medrash says he didn't know Rabbi Akiva's drasha, that you can't take the Torah as just a novel to read and not understand the depth, the profundity of the Torah's words. It means something. Arichus Yomim can't be in this world. Doesn't make a difference. 60 years, 80 years, 100 years compared to eternity. Arichus Yomim has to be eternal. Can't be in a world of eternity. Can't be a world of a physical, which by definition is finite. Nonetheless, people don't see it like that. And he himself didn't see it like that. He was bothered by an injustice that's caused the individual. you see an injustice you can't explain, and people ask, where's God? Where's the Torah? Where's the Schar? And they conclude, God forbid, as he did, les din v'les dayan, there's no justice, there's no judge. That's the din of an individual. Ask an even more profound question about Klal Yisrael. It's the next statement. V'yesh omer al shero l'shono shabi Yehuda anachto nosun b'fi akelev. He saw the tongue of Rabbi Yehuda that was cut off by the Romans when they killed him, thrown to the dogs. In the Gemara in Kiddushin, it was the tongue of Chutzpah Hameturgamon. Makes it even worse. Chutzpah Hameturgamon. Hameturgamon was those who relayed the shear to the kohol, the interpreter, the interlocutor, the one who brought words of Torah. So his tongue was cut out by the Romans when they killed him and thrown in the dust. So the Gemara Kiddushin, the Flametesim at Beis, he says, Peshe Hefik Margolios, the tongue that spewed such pearls of Torah now rolls in the dust. In the language of Rus Rabba, but Rabbi Yehuda Hanachdom, he says, Im aloshon sheyoga b'Torah kol yom of kach, if the tongue which toiled in Torah all his days suffers this fate, loshon sheni odeya v'en yoge b'Torah halachas kama v'kama, a tongue which knows no Torah at all and never toiled in Torah, so obviously it's going to suffer a terrible fate. Amarim Cain, lo matan schar letzadikim v'lo trias ameisim. He denied the whole system. Said it can't be. Certain people are troubled by the injustice done to a yochid that they know, usually themselves or a family member or a friend. Others, more philosophical, are troubled by what they perceive as an injustice to Klal Yisrael. Holocaust, persecutions, terror, not a moment of rest. How could it be? Am Hashem. There are answers to all these questions. Nonetheless, Elisha ben Avuya was of a mindset that he didn't seek answers. The questions were too tantalizing for him. He enjoyed the questions so much. We find that occasionally as well. Questions are good. People should ask questions. Certain things we can't know. Many things we can know if only we struggle. You can't understand every aspect of Torah, certainly not Dvar Ma'omdim Marumo Shalolam when you're, 15, 20 years old, maybe not when you're 50, 60 years old. But nonetheless, over the course of a lifetime of study, people get a hashkaf in life. They understand either questions bother them less, or they get an answer, they understand, they remove themselves from the realm of the personal into the realm of the hashkafic. Elisha ben Avuya never made that adjustment. And so what troubled him to the core, and led him to renounce Yahdus entirely, was his inability to explain questions. Questions of perceived injustice to a yachid, to an individual, even halachos that bothered him. Things that he did not understand. What else? Number three. Megamar gen chagiga daf yudal in base of the bottom, and it continues on the next daf. Tanar abonon arbon nichnasu bepardes. The four people entered the Pardes, they engaged in metaphysical speculation. The four, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, Rabbi Akiva, only Rabbi Akiva, Nichnas, V'yotav, V'shalom, only he survived. Two of them, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, one lost his mind, one died, Elisha ben Avuya, so the Gemara says, Acher, Kitzes ben Atios, he cut down the saplings, meaning he destroyed the growth of Torah. What troubled him? So the Gemara takes up a particular issue that deals with angels, matatron. He did not understand the reference in Tanakh to angels, and he concluded that angels are a separate power endowed by God with power in a sense that they are distinct from him and not his shlichim, despite the fact that you see Rashi here, I quoted in 5, Matatro, Sheshmo Keshem Rabba, Matatro, Begematria, Shakai, Shindal Yud, one of the names of Hashem, and the Ramban earlier in Brachos, in Yud Beis, says at the end, Chen Shamati, Kishaliach, Beloshen Yavon, Matatar, that the name itself, Matatron, just underscores that angels are just shlichei Hashem. They're not independent powers. Nonetheless, by getting into the philosophical complications or complexities, Elisha ben Avihu did understand that concept, and he began to perceive a duality in the world, as if there are two powers. Is one of the dominant philosophical strains in the ancient world. It's very tempting. He's drawn to dualism. If a person is drawn to dualism, so why do mitzvahs? You have to serve almost two masters. So therefore, he renounced the entire system. He determined there's no need to maintain the discipline of halacha. What led him astray? In a nutshell, philosophical speculation when he was not ready for it. It was too soon. Rabbi Akiva was a contemporary. He had a different background and a different grounding. So Yotze B'Shalom, he was able to achieve high levels in understanding. Elisha ben Avuya lost it entirely. Nofak Acher L'Tar Busra, he went completely off the derech. How did he go off the derech? So the Gemara continues at the end of number 3. Nofak Eshkach Zono Tiva, he found a prostitute and he solicited her services. Omrole, she said to him, Vilav Elisha ben Avuyat, aren't you Elisha ben Avuya, the Tana? Something no Rav wants to hear in that position. Aren't you Elisha ben Avuya? He said, no. Okar Pugla Mimeshra B'Shabbos V'Yoivla, he uprooted a radish on Shabbos and he gave it to her. To indicate that not only is not Elisha ben Avuya, but he's not even a believer at all. He's a complete heretic. Omra, so she said, Acher hu, this must be someone else, not the one I'm thinking of. And that really became his name in the Talmud, Acher. Why did he chase after Tarbus Ra? So there's one reason we can't ever exclude from the possibility of why people go off the derech, and that is pursuit of the illicit, physical pleasure. People cannot exercise restraint, self-control. Western man generally today is not very good at exercising self-control because we want the immediate gratification of everything. You know, we want to, I always say it's the microwave generation. You want to take a raw chicken and eat it 2 minutes later. Why wait? We want to have it right now. So people are drawn, the Gemara says elsewhere, that there's no pleasure that's denied to us. Every pleasure is permitted to us in some form. But nonetheless, Yitzhar Tokpo, we are compelled by our Yetzirah to seek the illicit, and therefore his two sins, Ramachil Shabbos, and the realm of Arayos, those two realms really challenge people as well. People outside our world. You know, Shabbos we're all used to, but outside our world, people say, think a day where you can't, you know, talk on the phone or ride a car or watch television or check your email. What kind of sense does that make? The notion of being almost in a spiritual cocoon where you're unengaged with the, disengaged from the rest of the world, the material world. People outside our world find it a very difficult concept to digest, and you find Balei Tshuva also struggle with that. But that becomes, in fact, really their entry, the portal into the world of Torah. If a person can, in the early stages, endure Shabbos, when they're taken away from everything they were accustomed to in the past, then the day will come, if they pursue that path, when they won't have to endure Shabbos anymore. They'll enjoy Shabbos. And they'll realize that Shabbos is Meshivas Nefesh. What Shabbos does to the Jewish soul, gives us a moment to come back to ourselves and come back to the Ribono Shel Olam without having any of the distractions of life. But nonetheless, it is true that people struggle with Mitzvah Lo Taseh, with the prohibitions, and that itself is enough to drive people off the derech. You find here, by the way, already eight reasons why Elisha ben Avuya, as Chazal understood, was driven away from Torah, or drove himself away from Torah. One was his father, Torah Shelo Lishma, Lo Lashem Shemayim. One was his mother, who in attraction to the aesthetic value of Avodah Zarah. He himself was raised with, or he himself developed an attachment to Zemer Yevoni, to Greek culture, as well as to Sifrei Minim. He was troubled by questions he couldn't find answers to, relating to the perceived injustice to a Yochid or to a Klal. He himself engaged in philosophical speculation, which led him off the Derech, led him to draw incorrect conclusions from the world of philosophy, and finally, an attraction to physical pleasure that he could not restrain. Those are eight reasons. What do they all say? How does a person go from being a Tano to having all these problems? You'd think that he wasn't a great Talmud Chacham either. So look, we can't go into all of it. If you want, you can either forego dinner tonight and just learn this, or take it with you. I want to just make a brief note. Rav Avadya Seif in Yechavet Das, number 12, Chayla Gimel Siman Ayin Dalid, says that granted that his father, Avuya, set him off on the wrong path. Nonetheless, Shebevada Echeto Shel Elisha Mitoch Kol Bechir Shebiyad Adam. Can't blame his father, it's his own Bechira. He makes his own choices once he becomes an adult. Ela Shelifamim Aidei Zchus Godol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Bo Ragli Chasid of Yishmor. Nonetheless, there's certain people who, if they're tempted to go astray and they have some zchus in their past, maybe a parent, maybe a grandparent, maybe somebody that themselves did a great act of chesed, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Mekayim for them Ragli Chasid of Yishmor, that God preserves the feet of his pious ones. Umesayo harbe leleches bedrachov afilu al yedei nisim v'niflos. And things will happen. What a person intended to do, the sin, will not come to fruition. Whatever it is, it just won't be able to take place. So here's the Marsha. Ilu ifrisho aviv l'torah l'shem shamayim. If his father had designated him for Talmud Torah for the right reasons, hoysa zchusa megino alisha l'shem menachet, then his chus would have protected him. Ach me'acha shelo kivein el lechavod hiniichu al pi abechira haragilo. Once though, his father's intention was not for Torah Lishma, but for kavod, other reasons, then he had to rely on his own bechira, and he failed. I want to end with a little statement from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, from the Sichos Musar, in which he takes up this area, number 13. And we'll see perspective. We'll get a greater understanding of really how we should live our lives, and how life itself and the choices we make, decisions we make, always require great thought and some caution. He writes, it's in Perek Tes, V'nira sh'af al-pi she'harbe gormim hayu lo la'achar she'yotzu l'tar b'sro. Even though you see from all the different chazal I quoted, there are many, many reasons why he went off the derech. Rebellion is multifaceted. Mikol makom behechrech she'imotzei z'shorash rabbi reshiso. Reb Chaim said it has to be that there was some root, some poor foundation at his very beginning. Shemimenu tzamchu ha'peros ha'orah meitzel acher. And it grew a corrupt fruit. V'shorash hoya eitzel aviv. And the root was that his father did not intend that his son be educated in Torah l'shem shemaim, for the sake of heaven. And this planted within him a wormwood poison, and it took root. And that's Rabbi Kiva's drasha. Tov achris davar shu tov mereshi so. It's only good. The end is only good when the beginning is good as well. If you think about it, the fact that his father did not intend his son to be a Talmud Chacham Lishma, it seems very minute, very small flaw. You could think of greater things that a parent could do to a child that would send a child off the derech. That because he was amazed, overwhelmed by the glamour, the honor that the Talmud Chacham receives, so that's why his son's going to go off the derech. He should have done it because Torah's life. Even a small flaw, like I said, a sapling that's just a little crooked, is not going to go straight. So what happens? It's not that one thing happened, and then something else happened, and then a third thing happened, and you have all the reasons, all the facets of Acher's life in the Talmud. No. Vascholas harikavon, the beginning of the corruption of Acher, haisa bazeh shel pasak mipume zemer yevani. And through Zemer Yevani came to Sifrei Minim. And through the Sifrei Minim he came to the philosophical speculations which led him astray. Kushos mikushos shonos al hashgacha v'chadome. V'yafal pishim istama b'tchilo hiskim imahem mishal yashav v'zakushos. Even though for sure he should have probably seek answers to those questions, because he was still in the base medrash. Mikol mokom kshodom mishalichim kushos ke'elu. When a person lives with such questions and allows them to seep in and he doesn't find any resolution for them, even when he finds some type of answer, hakushos mislachalos belibo, the questions will still reverberate in his mind and the question itself will remain even if the answer is there. V'zohaisa hachsharas hakarka li'moshech yiridaso, and that just prepared the ground for his descent. Remember years ago, I was giving a shiur on this topic of Tzadik Viral or Rosh HaVitov, and I went through three different approaches from Chazal. All of them answer the question, and then a woman asked me afterwards, yes, but tell me why my mother had to die when I was 11. And I realized at that moment that we're trying to deal with this issue, and there's so much written on it, you know, too many trees have been felled in order to answer this question. I realized people are seeking an emotional answer to an intellectual question. There's two different realms. Intellectually, we could always understand why this, why that, because the system is given to us, and many of the Rishonim discuss it. On a personal level, to be able to explain why me, why this, That we won't know. But on a philosophical level, we can understand. Nonetheless, he did not live with that. The karka was prepared for him because he did not see beyond the question of the moment. Why this son who obeyed his father and fell from the tree? Why chutz b'samiturgamon? Why him? Why Yehuda Hanachtom? Why him? On an individual level, we'll never know because that requires Das Elyon, that's God's business. But on a general level, as a klal, we could see patterns. We could understand more or less the way the world works because God gave us, at least He gave the Gedolei Torah, insights into the way He runs the world. On individual levels, it can be more difficult. But nonetheless, if one is looking for answers on a personal level, hakushos mislachalos belibo, the kushos, the questions remain and resound and eat away at his insides. And then he saw chutz v'samiturgamon nisoru l'tchiyo kol akusha shesofa galtocho uvoli dekfiro. Oh, when he saw it in real life, what happened? And the questions remained and overwhelmed him. Uvozen novin pesher adova madu yotzach l'tar b'sor l'mar adova zeh. Now we understand why he went off the derech. It wasn't one individual thing. Because you see Rav Chaim Shmulevitz notes, and he himself suffered in his lifetime. Hare alafim urvavos mi Yisrael, the tens of thousands of Jews, min gedolei olam ad apshutim shebi Yisrael, from gedolei Torah to simple Jews, who saw things that would cause us to shake, to tremble, horrific decrees, persecution that afflicted the Jewish people, with gzeros of 1096, the Crusades, or 1648, talk about that, or even our generation of the Holocaust. And nonetheless, Omdu Bemunasam, V'liyotzu L'tar B'sra, somehow they maintain their faith, these generations of Jews. Adarab, even more so, Hitzdiku Esadin, V'nis'alu Yidekach L'madregos Nalu Shosher, they justified what God did, they retained their bitachon in Hashem, notwithstanding everything that happened. Kamo Shomru, when God judges those who are sanctified, and we accept it, so God is exalted by this, because you see the extent of the bitachon that a Jew has. So why couldn't Elisha see beyond that? Because for him the ground was already prepared. The ground was prepared. Ultimately he had a distorted view towards Torah. Everything then snowballed. All the other miscues, all the other missteps that Elisha ben Avuya made in life, it was slight deviations, but one built on another, avera goreres avera, one thing led to the next, and when he couldn't explain injustice, he threw out the entire system. The interesting thing about Elisha ben Avuya in 14, that the Gemara argues here whether Elisha ben Avuya did tshuva at the end of his life on his deathbed. Most say no. Remeir insisted yes, but something else is true as well. What he did retain is a respect for Torah his entire life. And so Remeir is still able to learn from him. He saw there's still a value in Talmud Torah. If there's a value in Talmud Torah, says the Gemara ends, because a certain punishment that came to his grave afterwards that then was rescinded, if those who disparage Yadus, if this is their end, that in fact they're justified or they're brought back into the fold by the Beis and Shomaloh, so those who praise the Torah, who honor the Torah without any of these deviations, so certainly they will be entitled to great Tzchar Min HaShemayim. All the reasons you find why anyone would go off the derech, from poor parenting, to poor teaching, to simply an inability to overcome the Yetzer Hara, whether it's in matters of the intellect or matters of the guf, all these reasons coalesced in Elisha ben Avuya to make him really the poster boy for the Shanu Perash, for the Jew who knew Torah, who was grounded in Torah, and yet somehow the Torah did not fully take root in him. Keep in mind, if this is the fate, and his fate, Rav Meir says he was brought back into the good graces of Klal Yisrael. If this could happen to him, so those who engage in the study of Torah on a high level, and the practice of mitzvot, and doers of chesed, and Oavei Yisrael, if this is what they do, then mishtabchim ba alach haskam v'kamo. So therefore, it behooves us to study Torah with the right attitude, the right mindset, the appreciation of Asher b'char bonu mikol ha'amim and asan lonu es Torah. So appreciate the greatness of Torah. That's hivdilonu min atoim and asan lonu Torah SMS. And then not only will we not Chas v'shalom share the fate of Elisha ben Avuya in his derech, but on the contrary, we're able to set an example for all those who are not yet in our world, and they'll be able to sample the beauty of Torah and be drawn into its goodness. I thank you very much. Good question. My pleasure.